Hello, good evening.
That wasn't just aimed at the people to embarrass them because they've just come in. It was generally a good evening to you all. Thank you very much for coming. Thanks to Dunn for having me. This first poem came out of a collaboration that I did with a couple of poets and a photographer. And the photography was based on myths and legends from around the world. And in the province of Tarai in India, they have a legend that once every year the goddess Lakshmi takes the form of an owl and flies over everybody's houses. And the people who kept their houses clean and tidy and have been generally what I interpret as righteous throughout the year are blessed by Lakshmi, which makes it a good thing that I don't live in the Tarai, because I don't think many blessings would be coming my way given the state of my gaff. But anyway, this is called Lakshmi Visits. Dropping suddenly, the owl flies wordless over Tarai. So women sweep each speck into the yard with twigs and bustle. Faces turned up between greased flames lit with oil and slick shadows. Lakshmi watches, the jungle night full of ambition for next year. Childbirth, wishes, painted wide on the veranda in fruit paint. No flooding, just the rice in its careful boxes praising Lakshmi. All of Tarai is a woman's canvas drying in Tihar light. She flies south, smiling in her journey over houses new varnished. The inspection circle drawn close to earth on a quiet white wingspan. But beyond this plot, as dawn comes through feathered clouds, an owl hoots. Dylan mentioned that I am the translator of many novels from French into English, which is simply not true. But I'm happy for you to believe it. But I am in the process of translating a novel by Ingrid Turbois called Le Roi d'Afghanistan nous a pas mariés. This is a couple of sections just kind of stood out to me as being kind of, they were in the process of being turned into poems rather than just prose, so I kind of gave them a nudge. And this is the first one. It's called The Great Mystery, Ingrid Turbois' Power Cut. The electricity had not come back to my place. Round here, you don't ask for that kind of miracle. You have to wait for God to give what God is going to give. Was an old ancestral error overriding the relationship between the Almighty and my meter readings? My generator, choking under the voltage demands of a single kettle, had chosen that moment to cough up a cloud of steam into my face. Quickly, should I empty it or fill it up? If only I'd known which, blood or ink, was supposed to feed the other, heart or print cartridge, the great mystery of the pump, so fearful when nothing will power itself anymore. As long as the day wants so little from us, we hang on to what's left of our body. New lungs for a cigarette, the barely dulled picture that the mirror sends of our discomfort. The week before, in the same mirror, in profile with an arched back, I had invented a little child making my belly round, and had believed in love with more force than a holy man believes in his cross. Anyone can make a mistake. This is the second one from that same... It's a novel about a woman in Afghanistan. And it's kind of a love story about a woman falling in love with a man, but also a woman falling in love with the country itself. And this one is called Ingrid Turbois in the Market at Kabul. Tarpaulins slap in the shifting wind and fine dust swirls in columns of light. Rolls of cloth slump in the shadows of tiny boutiques. A stall holder disappears, bent below four large meters of cloth from which one sandal sticks out. Lethargy leans on the bazaar. The alley of spices is hidden. Perched on their stalls, the men watch my steps. Saffron, cumin, cardamom, white pepper. The spices form little multicolored dunes as the merchant, out of the love of making it beautiful, has fused the colours of fire. I turn and come upon a passage that's too narrow for toing and froing. I sneak into the density of unexpected silence. A brief loss of balance comes. Carpets of almonds, fig necklaces, mountains of shriveled grapes. The heat intensifies the smell of concentrated sugar. In the blue shadows, the tiny contours of the dried fruit weave a perfect landscape. Suddenly the eye is overcome, can make out nothing more. I come out into a noisy alleyway, boiled by the sun that hurls itself at pewter kettles, which are ready to fly away at the slightest breath of wind. Crouched by the road that runs alongside the dried-up river, women with covered faces sell bracelets. Back to solid ground by a bridge on which there's always a crowd circulating, coming to or going from the island of the bazaar. In winter, the river carries rubbish and plastic bags down from the mountain. In summer, kids play in the riverbed that buzzes with insects. Black from smoke, they run from each other, after each other, perch up here, hide over there, and end up falling in a cascade of laughter under the attack of a scruffy-headed horde. Everything melts in the day as it drags on. Then the moment when the wind gets up, it will soon blow in violent gusts. A veil of dust clouds my view, and the women wearing chadors disappear in floating blue cloth. It's my favourite time, when everything is uncertain, from the world that surrounds me to my presence in it. It is the hour when I tremble, when the vagabond spirit invents legends. Three drops of rain, a handful of melancholy, and the desire to huddle into arms whose warmth will leave no doubt. This evening I find it difficult to tell the sky from the earth. In Kalai Fatula, the most peaceful district, it is as if the bakers, schoolchildren, dustmen and fruit sellers had all spread the word. Behind the painted corrugated iron door lives a foreigner. The little blue door is an address that everyone knows, from the bookseller with his forgotten riches, to the postman who comes from the other side of town to deliver mail that would have been lost elsewhere. For the French teacher, the little blue door, Kalai Fatula, Kabul, Afghanistan. Dylan mentioned that I was also the star of a band, which, given that there are only two of us in the band, is difficult to verify. But since the other guy's not here, I'm going with that, yes? The reason that I mention that is that this piece is written for our next album. And it's going to be a spoken word piece with a kind of instrumental backing. It follows the theme of Afghanistan, which is why I've placed it in this bunch. It's called Lines About Kandahar. We don't see the caravans of spices and money carrying the trades of the Durrani Empire from Herat, Persia, staged from the eastern border too. The tracks of sails and missions and returns, each man bent in the wind under his own star, they ghost down from Kafiristan and Balkh, writing these lines across Kandahar. Come in through the flat approach that lends from the valleys in the north. Dried fruit, cotton, silk and tobacco. They spend these hours hanging in the bazaar, in narrow alleys between broken blue of mosaic walls. The air softens to stillness in the afternoon sun. But we keep writing these lines over Kandahar. Five rivers run through the cut soil of new fields and reap the flesh that you cut in rhythms, drum up the Sufi bendir that beats you to sleep. Pomegranates and grapes get big, sweating, divine in a dream by Sarah Maguire. They keep writing these lines about Kandahar. In the summer, when poppies drip their medicine over the graveside meadows, the morning is wide with the muezzin. We can only walk so far, and with careful fingers, in the dust that rises in gins, as the future of butterfly bombs on the A01 road to Sinjare sits unclear, we keep writing these lines around Kandahar. We've time for one more?
You've got time for one more.
We've got time for one more. This is one of a series of poems that I've been writing recently, which are in French and English, which is to say that it's a French poem with English phrases in And then it's an English poem with French phrases in, so they kind of mirror each other. Which I'm hoping is about as pretentious as it gets. I don't know if you see what you think. La fille qui parlait plus vite que son écho. La fille qui parlait plus vite que son écho, life ran over. N'a jamais compris les réponses, heard nothing. Des falaises de suicide, the answer, quietly. How to reach, conclusion. Heard nothing. N'a jamais compris, leaving. N'a jamais compris que les fusains, en lançant leurs feuilles, les traces, sounding. À travers la vide, leaving. Pushing forward, how to reach, echo. Dans le silence d'Okinawa, sounding out. Quickly, too. La parler aussi, enfin. We were speaking to her, in the end. How to reach. À travers la vide, heard nothing. N'a jamais compris. Les traces, ran over, leaving. Dans le silence, how to reach, echo. The girl who spoke more quickly than her echo. The girl who spoke more quickly than her echo. La vie débordée. Never understood the answers. N'a rien entendu. From the suicide cliffs. La réponse. Doucement. Comment atteindre. Conclusion. N'a rien entendu. Never understood. Départ. Never understood that the pencil trees throwing out their leaves, their marks, sans nom. Across the emptiness, départ, se pressant vers l'avant, comment atteindre, echo, in the silence of Okinawa, sans nom, vite, trop, we're speaking to her as well in the end, on l'a parlé aussi à la fin, comment atteindre, across the emptiness, n'a rien entendu, never understood, the traces, débordé, départ, in the silence, come on. Atteindre. Echo. Thank you.